Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's go around the NFL in the loop style.
Why are you smiling?
Because I love football.
Brought to you by Quick Assist. Here's John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I'm going to tell you all about how much fun you're going to have this season.
On Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, this is In the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We are live from Texas Star Grill Shop at 59 and Shepherd, having a good old time, talking with the various folks that are out here.
Mm-hmm.
And you should come out here and do the same. Nico's out front grilling all sorts of kebabs, shrimp kebabs, chicken kebabs, pork kebabs, vegetarian kebabs. Look, it's something for every taste.
Yes, sir.
So come out and get some of that. But then also you can register to win a pair of bullpen tickets to the game versus the Colts on Sunday. That is our Texas Ticket Tuesday. You got to do it in person. And also, if you were contemplating buying a grill,
mm-hmm.
today would be the day to do it. Up until 2, during the course of this broadcast, you can get an extra 10% off any grill purchase out here. So, we're trying to take care of you out here.
And take PayPal?
I don't know, but I imagine that we can get that answer very quickly. How's that sound?
That's good, man.
Okay, very good. What is also good is that we're about to go around the NFL, and that's brought to you by Quick Assist. That is your no-hassle solution to reselling your tickets across every marketplace. Download Quick Assist from your app store today. That's Quickassyst. Quick Assist, your ticket everywhere. And we begin by talking about the walking mash unit that is the San Francisco 49ers. That is a team, I think, historically we've looked at and we've realized is one that when they don't have their star players, it really looks incredibly different. And I know that seems like that's a novel thing, or that's not a novel thing to say, because with any team, if they don't have their star players, it feels very unique for them. It's going that way in a big way, as Brandon Ayuk is out for the season with an ACL tear. We saw that. But then also, did you see that Deebo Samuel has been hospitalized with pneumonia?
Yeah, look, that's a mess over there. Wasn't it Ayuk that said it's now or never?
That sounds about right.
I think he said that before the season. It's now or never, window closing type of stuff. I don't know how much it's closing, but it ain't great. And I think the Niners right now, boy, they are in a bad spot for a number of reasons. And I also don't like when people say, well, see, Brock Purdy with, you know, without his weapons, boy, he's just he's not what we know. I think it's just any team with starters like that, with transition, with a running back. I mean, how would the Texans look without Joe Mixon? You know, I mean, just goes on and on and on. I think it's just a bad time for the Niners right now. And I don't know if it's going to get any better, and the window may well be closing.
Yeah, so, but if there's any chance for a get-right game in that circumstance, they are playing the Cowboys. So the downtrodden Cowboys might help them out a little bit there. As we continue around the NFL, we mentioned yesterday about the Eagles just really putting it to the Giants this weekend, and, of course, it was Saquon Barkley's return to MetLife Stadium. Not only did he feel like giving the Giants a little bit of the business, he also felt giving to his teammates, as apparently he had an opportunity to go out there and really set his career record, but he decided to do this.
You're 13 yards away from your career high. I would love for you to get that, but that's up to you.
I just don't want,
I'm going to take out all the starters if they don't score.
You're good. Let them eat.
You sure?
Yeah. Good.
You sure?
I promise.
I'll listen to me. I want you to do it if you want to do it.
So I'd rather see the young boys eat.
Man. And I put this down. It's heartwarming. I mean, I know that's not something you hear a lot, that word, with some of the things that are going on in-game. That is a heartwarming. If I'm an Eagles fan, I'm a bigger Saquon fan than I've ever been. Guy had a chance to make a personal record, you know?
Yeah.
And said, nah, let the young guys eat. I love it. I love it.
I mean, and I think it also speaks to a dude who recognizes that that's not something that he is in this for at this point.
Yeah.
I was kind of listening to a podcast that was more NBA-based, but the idea of, hey, you get to a certain point in your career where you're no longer trying to prove who you are mm-hmm. to the league, although you always are trying to, like, kind of prove yourself as a player in a sense, but you're not trying to, like, establish who you are in a larger way. I think Saquon's in that place where he's not trying to establish. Like, people know that he's a monster toting a rock.
Yeah.
And so setting his career record again wouldn't mean as much for him as, like, okay, I've done what I need to do in this game. Let other people.
That said, there are still other guys who have already gotten their second contract, who have gotten their big contract, who are certainly stars in their own right, who would say, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I want to go out there. I want to get that record, especially against the Giants.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that I would be mad at them either.
No,
right? That competitive spirit exists within these dudes. But it was kind of cool to see a dude be like, "No, let's make sure we spread it around." That kind of teammate concept that showed up big for Saquon, which also I imagine is something that he appreciates, is having other dudes that you can get the ball to. Right? He was playing a lot in a system where it felt like he was out there alone in some ways with the Giants. Now he's on an Eagles team that feels like it's a little bit better than where it was. Continuing around the NFL, Tua Tagovailoa, he is going to return from the concussion that he faced. The latest concussion is almost the way that you need to put it, as he's dealt with a number of them during the course of his career. And in his meeting with the media, he was asked about the concussion, about the possibility of maybe wearing a guardian cap.
Will you wear a guardian cap?
Nope.
Why?
Personal choice.
So that was, and he went on further to kind of talk about more of the things that were happening there, including he was asked about a lot of people worrying and having a legitimate worry about his health. What would you say to those people that are worried that you might get hurt again? And he said, quote, "I appreciate your concern. I really do. I love this game. I love it to the death of me. That's it." What was your reaction to hearing that Tua was not did not want to utilize these guardian caps, this thing that has kind of become more prevalent and more available for players to wear? And that, I guess, with the numbers that we have right now, supposedly can help up to 10% when it comes to, like, kind of the deceleration of the head and the brain in trying to limit these concussions.
It kind of made me sick. Did it you?
Yeah.
It really did. I'm not trying to be, over sappy or sympathetic or anything, but, we've both seen enough of this in this league that we know. That's the thing that I keep coming back to, Reggie. We know what's going to happen. It's not even it is a question of when. If he continues to play, presuming he continues to play with as many as he's had, with as bad as it's been, I'm not trying to wish any bad luck on anyone, but his situation with the head injury is one of the worst we've ever seen.
There's that, but then also, I respect his opportunity and his agency in order to make decisions for himself. That's not the part that has kind of thrown me off a little bit. It was the defiance with which he seemed to go at it, like, nope, don't want it, personal reasons. And it felt like, while he does not, we're not entitled to a reasoning from him, right? He makes his decisions for himself as a grown-ass man. But I feel like it made me wonder if he's actually really considered in a real way, and if, like, he's allowing machismo to get in the way of potentially doing the maximum things that are available to him to protect himself.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of sad to see for me. And maybe he has done it, and he just felt like he didn't owe us a response, and that's fine, I guess. Right? Ultimately, this is the way it's going to be, whether I like it or not. But it just, I didn't love the idea that it felt like he was kind of dismissive and defiant, that almost as if to say, like, no, I'm strong, don't worry about it, because there's a lot of places where, adding the extra support that's available to you is actually the stronger position to have.
I'm totally with you on that. I get You know, there is a certain culture of you know, machismo, as you said, you know, in football. But is there anyone on the planet who would, like, you know, point and laugh and say, ah, soft? You know, if you weren't guardian.
There probably are.
No, I don't, but not in this case.
Yeah.
Like, in the locker room, you think any of those guys would be,
No. I don't imagine. Now, it is worth noting that I did hear, like, obviously, every player has had the possibility of being able to do this, and a select few have taken the opportunity of wearing the guardian cap. I thought we saw one of the linemen.
Colts had one.
Colts, and then in this game, Monday night, the Ravens and Bucks game that we saw, the first of the Monday night doubleheader, that one, there was a player on the line, if I remember correctly, wearing the guardian cap. So some people are taking advantage of it, but I know that some players had kind of decided against it for various reasons. Some of them also said that, like, it was uncomfortable in some ways, that maybe it added some weight in a way, and I can't really speak to that because I haven't put them on, but I'm sure that there are reasons. It was just kind of weird that he was just like, nope, personal choice. It's like, all right, I guess you make your decision, but
hey, and you said this, he's a grown man.
Yeah,
he's gonna make his decision. All I'm saying is if you've seen this multiple times with him, It's just a scary proposition.
Yeah. I mentioned that in that Monday night game, one of the two that were played on ESPN. And I guess there's other ways you can get hurt playing football. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers saw a couple of those as Chris Godwin and Mike Evans both lost to injury in the course of a 41-31 loss that really didn't feel anywhere near that close. And Mike Evans, it looked really bad. And you see, it felt like as soon as he was getting tackled, he knew instantly that hamstring was not in a good space. That feels like he's going to miss some time. And then also, how did you feel about Chris Godwin, who he gets injured when really this game is already salted away? They're trying. And ultimately, I believe that Todd Bowles, the head coach of the Bucks, he says, we were trying to win the game, and they did get an onside kick and make it, I mean, a 10-point game ultimately. But in the course of all of that, they also lost Chris Godwin to a pretty bad ankle dislocation.
And this is one where I kind of fall on the other side of it. It's hard to drag these players off a field. I mean, it has to be way in control for players to kind of say, all right, I'm out. They're competitive. They're in it for a lot of personal and team reasons. They you know, they have that attitude of not of playing until the final whistle. It was just an ugly, ugly incident. He's gone for probably the season for sure. If it is what, you know, as bad as we thought it was, but I actually kind of get that one. You know, players play. You know, by and large, until it's just a done deal that the game's out of hand.
Yeah, no, but I think that's where it's incumbent upon your coach to recognize.
Yeah, make the decision for him.
When a situation is out of hand and, like, hey, we need you more than just trying to come back in this game. And it's tough because you don't have enough guys to pull all the guys off the field.
Right.
But it feels like in certain circumstances, like that one where it really did feel like they were just trying to run up the score at the end. I don't think they really had an opportunity to actually win it.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that's a personal perspective on it. Maybe they looked at it and they said they very much had an opportunity to win it. I don't know. But it felt like that would have been a great opportunity to be like, hey,
we're making the decision, we'll live
to fight another day. And maybe I'm just saying that because you see the injury and the you know, the downside, the negative that could pop up. During the course of that game, boy, the Ravens looked like a monster. And within that, obviously, Derrick Henry had the big, like, 80-yard rush, but it felt like, I don't think that I've seen Lamar Jackson, or at least in my memory, have as good of a passing day as it felt like he was having there. It felt MVP-like.
Well, the Ravens in general, I mean, let's, you know, we can go ahead and put them at or very, very near the top of these, you know, all these power rankings you've seen. They're reaching another level. I think they're the first team in NFL history to average 250 yards passing and 200 yards rushing over seven games. That's balance. That's Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, and the Ravens all of a sudden, you know, they're reaching another level. They're certainly at another level from the Texans.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. I mean, Lamar Jackson didn't throw the ball all that much, 22 total attempts, 17 completions, 281 yards, and get this, 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
in the course of that. I mean, a really good showing from him, placed the ball really well, but then you added on 52 yards rush for him and 169 on the ground for Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
It's
pretty good.
He continues to make it very frustrating for anybody who had the opportunity and even the thought, passing thought of maybe signing him. It looks really good over there.
Mm-hmm.
Some other things around the NFL, Jameson Williams, the wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, suspended for 2 games for PEDs. Unfortunately for the Texans, that's not going to help you one bit, because that'll be the two games that are coming, and then he will be, in theory, able to return for that Texans game when you would face off against the Lions. It's not the first suspension of his career. He was suspended last year, a 6-game suspension for violating the gambling policy. So he's
running
the gamut.
Things happen, man.
Yeah, he's running the gamut here. Apparently, Jameson Williams said that he is disappointed with the current suspension, but says that he, quote, has no choice but to take it on the chin. I'm in good spirits, just ready to get back with my brothers ASAP, soon as possible.
I'm just laughing that the guy's had a run, man. He's had a good run in terms of suspensions and problems with the NFL. But, yeah, and it is PEDs. Remember, we made the distinction with Mario Edwards, like the NFL policy has two different ways to do this.
Yeah, and I didn't see exactly what was happening within that, because to get 2 games as opposed to, like, some people get four, some
or six.
I didn't fully get the distinction there, but yeah, best of luck to you there, Jameson Williams. Although it would have been nice if that was 4 as opposed to 2, when you had one fewer thing to consider when the Lions were on the schedule for the Texans. Some other things: the Browns are signing quarterback Bailey Zappe.
Saw that. Right off the practice squad.
So, the potential of having some Bailey Zappe quarterback snaps. I don't think he'll actually get on the.
Are you sure?
I know Dorian Thompson-Robinson, his status for the game against the Ravens is unclear. You think that James?
No, I don't know. I'm saying, like, at this point, they're sort of spitballing over there.
Yeah, obviously Jameis Winston, I believe, will be the man who goes after Deshaun Watson's season-ending Achilles injury, which MRAs did confirm. And then Jameis Winston goes, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, if he's not ready, you have Bailey Zappe probably active as the backup.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Jameis Winston is capable of giving you a game where you might see Bailey Zappe be the quarterback for the Browns at a point.
You might, and I'm pulling for Jameis Winston, that's for sure.
Really?
I love him.
Why?
I just love him.
Okay.
I love his personality. I love the way he, he just hangs around, gets things done. He'll throw up.
Thank you for that fig.
He'll throw up a good game every once in a while. He's just entertaining.
Okay, if you say so. That's the Browns quarterback situation. God bless you don't have that one here as the Houston Texans. And you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're still live at Texas Star Grill Shot, where I see less smoke, but I still know the Nico.
I'm going out there. Screw it.
Yeah, we got to go investigate. I think that's what we'll do here.
I'm going out
there. What's happening with those kebabs. You should come out and investigate, too. Shepherd and 59 is the location where we got kebabs out here, and you have an opportunity to register to win a pair of bullpen tickets to Sunday's game. You got to be on the ground in order to do that. Plus, during the course of this broadcast, you get an extra 10% off any grill purchased today during the broadcast. So you got all that available to you and more here at Texas Star Grill Shops. Plus, you can always get a little bit of OG sauce. That's always there.
You're darn right. Right in front of us. Impulse buy, baby. It's an impulse buy.
Is it always there? Because I know you.
No, it is.
Okay, I was like, did they do that?
It's the
just
number
for
one
you?
Seller, right?
All right. You don't have to.
No,
you don't have to gas his ego up. Don't
it
do that.
Is. It is.
All right. So I guess the people of Houston like some OG. Very good. All right, but do you like this? Coming up next, there's an argument that could be made that we're in the midst of a crucial time in CJ Stroud's development. Is that an overreaction, or do you agree? 713-572-4610. Let's discuss that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig back at Master Control, and myself, Reginald Atitula. We are live at Texas Star Grill Shop at 59 and Shepherd, and people are rolling in. People are enjoying the kebabs that are out there provided by Nico. Nico's doing a good job. Not John, though.
They're going to have to tell me about it.
Not John.
I was talking to people, started just chatting with everybody. I was showing somebody a grill. I don't know why I'm doing this, but
wait, you were selling?
I guess. I was like, no, not that one, this one. I was like, okay.
So you wanted to go eat, and you didn't eat.
I ended up selling a grill.
But you sold a grill.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fig, does that make sense to you?
Nah, I don't.
Okay. No, I was just wanting to make sure I wasn't by myself here.
It doesn't to me either.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm glad. Someone asked on the YouTube, or was it the YouTube or the text line? Sorry. Text line, 832. Listen on the app a little behind. Odyssey app is available for you. Do any Texans wear the Guardian cap? And I don't think that I've seen any.
Seen it in training camp.
Preseason.
Did Titus wear it, Figgy? Somebody on the offensive line wore during preseason.
But, yeah, we haven't seen anybody.
I remember him wearing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Appreciate that, Fig. Yeah, I don't think anybody is wearing the Guardian cap in games. But I do wonder if that, like, over time you'll just see more of that filter in as maybe some of the stigma wears away. And you wonder if also there's – I don't know how you prove a negative, though. Like, if some of the guys that do wear the Guardian cap end up kind of you know, talking it up and preaching the good gospel of the Guardian cap to some other folks. I do wonder if that ultimately. Or,
I think also aesthetically, it's not as bad as I thought it would be.
No.
They put like this little cover on it, looks like the helmet.
Right.
It's actually not bad at all.
Yeah, they try and make it as minimally invasive as possible. And so, yeah, I think also I wouldn't put it past the NFL to eventually get to a place where they mandate it in some ways, whether it's in the trenches or something, to try and limit some of these injuries, and particularly to the brain that can pop up.
Yeah.
Let's get into this conversation. Lopez, you seem to believe that there's an argument to be made that we are in a real critical time for C.J. Stroud and his development.
Often, you know, when these thoughts come to mind, I'm also kind of aware, I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but we do have to be honest about certain things. I think the argument can be made that this is sort of a crucial point in C.J. Stroud's continued development. Not development, because we know he's a great quarterback.
Sure.
But his continued development and sort of the arc of where his career is going. And I'm interested in what you and Figgy think, and, of course, our listeners, you know, on YouTube and Twitch and on the text board at 713-572-4610. So I'm going to preface it by saying I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but I think it's something. It's not nothing. And that's this. He is clearly frustrated.
Yes, we saw visible
Does anybody doubt that?
No, I don't think you can. You saw him literally throw his helmet to the ground, and maybe you could say some of that was like frustration with himself.
Yeah.
However, it came after one of those very, very quick sacks where I almost wonder what could he have done other than have better protection in front of him. So I think it would be fair to say that there's a level of frustration, even if you don't direct it somewhere, even though I do think that that direction is probably with the entirety of the offense and specifically the line.
Yeah, so number one, he's clearly frustrated. He's showed as much as you talked about. I think he's said as much. Like, he's talked about, like, we've got to communicate better and some of the things that, you know, in, at the end of the half there that, you know, were they getting the communication right or right? So that's one thing. The other thing that I think is most crucial here is if we're being completely honest, and maybe this is what kind of triggered D'Amico Ryans to say it's all on the table. Like, he's playing a little bit out of character. At least he did against the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, he took some very big hits, which quarterbacks are going to do.
Hopefully not too much.
But he also missed some throws, as you brought up yesterday.
Two or three that come to mind that were just errant in a way that just that felt odd for C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud, one of the things that you kind of laud him for, that you give him praise for, is his accuracy.
Yes.
He can be very accurate and his cool, absolutely. And there were some instances where even like not under duress, even though he was under duress a good amount, in fact, the most of his career, most pressure that he saw in his pretty young career in that game against the Packers. But even there was instances where he had an opportunity to set his feet and really, you know, step into the throw where he dirts it or he misses in a way that just feels so errant.
Yes.
So far away from his typical character. So, yeah, no, that was an odd thing to see.
All right. So let me go through some of these, some other ones here, and you can react. But also, when we're done, I'm going through all this stuff that we're seeing from C.J. Stroud. I want you to tell me what that describes. So he's frustrated. He's out of character. He's taken some big hits. He's missed some throws. He's rushed some throws, I think, is what we can also include there. He's bailed out of the pocket maybe a little quicker or a little more than he has in the past.
Yeah.
What does that describe?
Shell shock.
That describes a quarterback that something is affecting his I guess, approach, his mindset. Maybe that's a better word. That would be a worry. That would be a worry for me of all the things that could potentially, I'm not going to say derail, but all the things could affect what C.J. Stroud is. If you got a quarterback that's bailing out, that's rushing throws, that's missing throws, that's getting hit a lot, that's frustrated, that to me tells me this is kind of a crucial time to get it right in front of him.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to, this might be a little bit more alarmist. I was talking to some of the folks that are out here, and one of the things that was brought up is the idea of you don't want to betray the trust that C.J. Stroud has in this organization. If there's one thing about C.J., good dude, he works hard, he studies tough, but he believes in his team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is evident. He believes in not just the players on the team, he believes in the coaching staff, he believes in the organization. That shows through. You don't want to violate that trust to where he looks up and he goes, I don't know if they can protect me.
Yeah.
And of course, again, that's a little bit more alarmist because I don't think that we're in that
place.
No,
but I think that's what we're talking about
here. I think he loves being here with the Texans.
No, I have nothing to do with that.
And all of those things, right? But, and like on a grander scale, you need to validate that trust. And that's just any time that you have a franchise quarterback in particular, but any quarterback, part of your job as an organization is to make sure that he knows that he has an environment where he can do his best work. And as of right now, he does not. You cannot say that, at least when it comes to playing against the Packers, against a team that had the capability of really getting at you and picking at your weaknesses.
Yeah.
There's been other instances outside of this, right? It's not just a one-game circumstance where he's had to do a lot more over and above in order to make up for what was some deficiencies in pass protection. So, yeah, you might be in that place where you need to make sure that you're not making it a super commonplace thing that he has to make up for pressure.
And here's the most important part. Like all those things that we just talked about that I mentioned, like the Texans obviously recognize that, and they also have to recognize, like, it's not even an option anymore. You know, we go into the season, we go into his rookie year last year saying, you have to do everything you can possibly do to sort of, help him become a great quarterback, to help him once we come into this year, become a next level quarterback, a quarterback that can take you to a potential, conference or Super Bowl championship, down the road. if you don't make the changes now, you're going against everything that logic tells you should do. Because that's a quarterback that can take you a lot of places, and right now he's all those things. He's frustrated. He's out of character. He's throwing the ball away. He's moving out of the pocket quicker than normal. So it's almost like when you see what C.J. Stroud is going through, if I'm Nick Sirianni or D'Amico Ryans, I'm like, it's not an option. We have to change something. We have to get that out of his head, because we've seen it.
Yeah.
We've seen it in the NFL. We've seen it in this city. When bad things happen continually happen, something gets in that quarterback's head, and it either gives them a hiccup or it affects them longer term.
Yeah, and that needs to be a point of pride for the offensive line, and that's one of the things that you honestly have gotten to a point where you're questioning, like, is that a point of pride for you, making sure to keep your quarterback upright? Because if the way that it's happening, you need to show that. I think it was ND Kalu on Texans radio on Monday was talking about how you get to a certain point with a veteran offensive line where, you know, at some point somebody needs to step and be like, hey man, this is insufficient, this is not good enough. And he kind of detailed some of the, you know, an anecdote of like maybe an offensive line guy going to the practice squad guys that are going against them in practice and like putting up a level of a reward for any time they get a pressure in order to raise the level of play that they're seeing so that they can raise the level of play on the offensive line, things like that. And I think the real thing that's a little concerning is, does this Texans offensive line have that guy for whom, like, they will take it upon themselves to be the catalyst of change, to be the person that says this is not good enough? Because in theory, the dude getting paid a whole bunch and the dude who you think of as supposing to, you know, take on the role of captain of the offensive line is Laremy Tunsil. I don't know that we feel very good about him being the leader guy in that way. Who else do you put up there? There's some young guys in the middle of that line, Juice Scruggs, Kenyon Green, very young guys. I don't know that you can expect them to take on that mantle. Is it Shaq Mason? Shaq Mason feels like he has the experience and those things to maybe be that guy, but I don't know, is that part of his demeanor? Is he that kind of guy? I'm not certain, right? I just wonder, do you have somebody that's willing on that line to set the tone for, hey, this is not sufficient to protect our guy back there?
No, you're absolutely right, and I think that's why it's very, very important from the 832. It's absolutely a thing. He's being put in bad situations. I just feel like, again, not to be overly dramatic, because somebody was talking about, hey, you're drumming up drama. All the mouth-breathing idiots in the city will be posting your drama on Reddit any day. No, I literally said, I'm not trying to be dramatic. Let's be real here. Are you not seeing what we're seeing, or what the Texans coaches are seeing? That was not the C.J. Stroud that we normally saw. That was not the same guy. And all I'm saying is, you got to nip that in the bud.
Yeah,
whether it's the line or whatever.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You mentioned, you were talking about D'Amico and Casario. Mm-hmm. You didn't get to Bobby Slowick there, and I feel like
that's fair.
There's some things, it feels like schematically, that put you in a place where you allowed, your rules were very evident, and there was an opportunity to get out them, and Jeff Hafley did that, right? It feels like some of the things, I know that Clint has talked about it, I know Seth has talked about it, is all these condensed formations. Tony Romo mentioned this on the broadcast. All these condensed formations are just giving the defenses opportunities to get exotic, or maybe just make it make it tough on the offensive line. But even like the simple games and schemes that are getting you on the front end, it just feels like they're taking so much advantage of what you're doing schematically, and it feels like there needs to be a shift in what you do in order to better protect your quarterback.
Look, when D'Amico says everything's on the table, I'm not excluding coaching adjustments, whether it's how they coach this play or that play with this back or that back, or assignments, or schematically, as you're talking about. No, when he says everything's on the table, everything's on the table.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're out here at Texas Star Grill Shop hanging out with the five folks here. 59 and Shepherd is the location. Nico's out front. There's some food.
This time I really mean it. I'm going to get some.
I don't believe you. There's an opportunity to win some tickets. That you can believe. If you come in and fill out some information here, there'll be a pair of bullpen tickets to the game versus the Colts on Sunday. And also, 10% off, extra 10% off any grill that is purchased during the course of this broadcast. So make it out quickly if that's something that you were considering doing, or just come out and say what's up to the fellas. That's always available for you as well. But coming up next, we get into what's popping, including some a pair of important figures going to see the LeBron Bronny thing start up. Amen. Plus, how much is it going to cost to be at a World Series game? We'll talk about that and more next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
Yeah, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop. Sports Radio 610 live from Texas Star Grill Shop. 59 and Shepherd is the location. Nico's is the food, man, it's although good. It's so also, good. Yeah, we finally have gotten an opportunity to taste it. And as I'm sure you'll be surprised to hear, very delicious.
Yeah. God, it's good.
Very delicious. And mm-hmm. I think I saw them working on a big green egg. Mm-hmm. Out there, so mm-hmm. that and you can go ahead and get you one out here at Texas Star Grill Shop. An extra 10% off if you purchase a grill during today's broadcast, and they're putting them to work outside, letting you know how effective these grills can be.
Yeah, they are working, and got the OG sauce wings over there, got it working too.
Yeah, and there's people that are giving you props on it. They say it tastes good.
So. Yeah, except if this radio thing doesn't work out,
we'll figure that out. We'll see how that goes.
I'll let you know. Fig, to be determined.
Fig, how annoying is it to hear us sitting here talking about how good this food is while you back in the studio?
Hey, I got a confession about that coming up, man.
All right. Cool.
I'm going to tell you something I never did since I've been working here.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay. That's a little tease for confessions.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did something I never did here. I did it because of y'all.
Oh, I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but I'm guessing it's not. All right, so let's go ahead.
Yes and no. Yes and no.
Let's go ahead and get to this what's popping before I get excoriated of some sorts. All right, so we mentioned earlier Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün both got deals done. Alperen Şengün, 5-year, 185, if I remember correctly. Jalen Green, 3-year. It's basically a 2+1.
Yes.
About just over 100 mil. And so both of them get a solid bump in the money. They are around, so they will continue to be here around after the this season. But more of a standard deal for Alperen Şengün mm-hmm. on a rookie extension, not a max.
But good to have the 5 years, man.
Good to have 5 years. He is definitely going to be a part of the project that you're doing. Jalen Green has, I don't want to call it a prove it because it's not that. They gave him a decent amount of money. But it's also a situation now that it gives you a little bit more of a runway to figure out exactly what he can be in the situation. But then also, it's a tradable contract.
It's kicking the can down the road, but it's a very expensive and lucrative can. it's good for everybody. And that's what I was mentioning to you earlier. Like, you still have room to find out, but you also are in a place where if he's the real deal and he's what you want and there's not a trade out there, keep in mind, he was floated as a trade, you know, possibility just last year.
He sure was.
You know, so you're in a situation where, you know what, it doesn't quite work out. It's a very friendly contract in terms of there are teams that could maybe take it on.
Yeah, shout out to Rafael Stone making that happen. But Fig, did you see who the happiest person was to find out about this extension?
Who's that?
Dre and Michelle.
Oh.
Yeah.
She was, I guess so, huh?
She was real happy about that. She was
rubbing her hands together.
Posted a few.
Yes.
Yeah, she posted a few Instagram story things mm-hmm. about the man getting the year, getting the money and the short term deal, which I guess in this era of negotiating in sports, that's what you want. Big money with the short term deal so you can get back to the table as the money keeps going up and
right.
up in all these sports.
Right. And at a good age, you know, it's all going to come into play. So it's good on both sides.
Yeah. So shout out to the Rockets who will get their seat. And started tomorrow at 7 versus the Hornets, and they will do that having two of the kind of unknowns in some ways when it came to contracts under extensions now. Mm-hmm. So shout out to them. Some other things happening when we talk about contracts, the WNBA, who just had their finals and this weekend, their players decided to opt out of their CBA. I guess stating that with all of the increased attention and mm-hmm. I guess opportunity there, that they want to renegotiate and get a bigger piece of the pie in there.
I'm interested in your thought on this, because let me give you mine, and I'm interested if you're in the same vein. Be careful. Be careful with that. First of all, and I don't appreciate this. I wish this was not the case. But ownership in every professional sports always wins negotiations. Ultimately, they
more and more lately
always win.
It used to be at least that you could turn to baseball and go, well, baseball, they handle their business.
Back in the day, way back in the
day. It feels like after the strike, was that 94?
94.
It feels like after 94, baseball has also fallen in line with what has been most of what we see.
Ownership always wins. Now, they might throw you a bone here and there. You know, okay, we're only going to have this many preseason games. I'm talking about the NFL. Or, you know, this or that. Or you can have, you know, so the plus 1 years if you're talking basketball. They'll throw you a bone, but they always win. And with the WNBA, what really struck me is you better lock up Caitlin. Because I know that it's a great product. It's becoming a much better product. The NBA final, the WNBA finals, you know, had really good ratings, was very entertaining, sold out houses, all that stuff. But that's still a product in part because of Caitlin Clark. So you better lock her up first.
I think they've drawn attention, but yeah, I do think that, yeah, there's a potential of work stopping, and that might be a thing that loses them some of that energy that they've built towards. It's still the best women's league that you have in the world, so I think that she wants to compete at that level. But outside of that, you're right. Like, you mm-hmm. have to be careful, but I do think that they have something that the men's leagues don't seem to have, which is like so kind of this like moral ground. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of selling on like the women's empowerment type thing, and I think that the owners, you don't want to lose that and end up looking like the villain in that end. But yeah. Good. Best of luck to the WNBPA because they're going to have their work cut out for them in trying to get that money there. As we continue with what's popping, I mentioned that the NBA season starts tonight, and I found this to be an interesting juxtaposition because obviously the big thing for the Lakers this season when it comes to storylines early is LeBron and Bronny playing together, and I don't know how long that lasts or whatever, but clearly at the very start of this, that's part of the appeals, right? LeBron being mm-hmm. on the court with his progeny, and in the building to watch that will be the Griffies.
That's so good.
Ken Griffey Sr., Ken Griffey Jr. It is good, but I also feel like it's going to be a stark reminder of how contrived
LeBron
and Bronny was. Because the thing about the Griffies that was cool is that happened on its own, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Ken Griffey Sr. was still capable of playing.
They were both deserving, if we're being honest.
And Junior, exactly. He earned his way there, and he was the better of the two, right? Like, he was the one who came, with all due respect to Sr., right? He came through, and that team wanted to go get him because of his capabilities. I think it highlights, again, and unfairly so, I think, to Bronny, just how much had to be done to kind of make this happen and how much this feels like a PR stunt as opposed to one of those really cool things that just seems to happen in sports.
No, it is. You're absolutely right. It is very contrived. It was, if you're going to do it, own it, and they are owning it, and it's good. I think it's the reason I like it. I think it says as much, and you just kind of alluded to that. It says much as much about the Griffies as anyone. Like, it's like, this is how good they were, and now they're going to be there to watch LeBron and Bronny.
Yeah, and just another opportunity to kind of tap into the Griffies again is a fun thing, because what a time, man.
That's what I'm saying. It says more about them.
For sure. Yeah. Some other things happening. We know that we have a World Series set. It is Yankees-Dodgers, and because you have glamour franchises, you got glamour ticket prices.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, tickets. All right.
Oh no!
We got a Yankees fan. He's wearing the H-Town.
No.
He's wearing the H-Town H Texans hat as well. So, like, I don't think I wouldn't imagine that you're doing the Cowboys, Lakers, Yankees thing. But you're in here talking about the Yankees. I don't like that. He was named after Mickey Mantle. Okay, I guess your parents did.
All right, well, then.
So it's not your fault.
You get a little bit of a pass there.
Whatever. Yeah. But I wonder if this fine gentleman would be willing to pay what it costs on the resale market to go to a Yankees Dodgers game in the World Series. As resales are hitting, apparently starting out at $1,358 on Monday evening via StubHub. StubHub says that the sales have outpaced last year's final figures.
I guess so.
Four times higher than the pace of the 2022 series, which makes sense. You just have franchises where they have big fan bases, and you knew that this was going to cost
money,
a lot of money.
Big fan bases, marquee lineups. What's the range of the prices there? Like, 1,300 is where they start?
Vivid said average ticket price is $1,300 for game one, $1,392 for game two. So I don't know exactly what the high end of this is, but it sounds like it's expensive.
Yeah, and that, not to downplay that, but one thing that I looked at and I just called it up to double check, kind of tells you what that A&M and Texas game is going to end up being.
Oh,
A&M Texas right now, $2,200, $1,300, $1,900. This is all lower bowl. Upper bowl you can get for a mere $930.
Someone's going to be real disappointed after that, too.
Yeah. Oh, God. They're going to be heart. Their mood is going to be a bad mood. Yes. And it might be me. In fact, the odds are it will be me. But
you won't. You're not. All right, that means you're paying
$2,669. That's per ticket. $2,700 on the lower bowl, $933.
You got it. I see the OG sauce over there. They're moving OG sauce.
Keep rolling. Keep selling that OG sauce, baby. Let's go.
Maybe we can send Lopez to the game if y'all keep buying some OG sauce.
Need to sell a lot of bottles,
that's
man.
That's crazy. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. But, yeah, apparently.
But, no, that's a huge price. But it got me thinking, like, that's how crazy the Texas and A&M game is. $2,600?
Yeah.
My goodness.
All right, well, yeah. More power to the people that got the money to go. I always wonder with events like this if this big money keeps it from being like a better environment. But it feels like a World Series is always going to be exciting good. No matter what.
Yeah,
I believe that we'll see what happens there. I don't know how excited. We know one person in the store is excited for that series, but everybody else could leave it or take it, I imagine. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, Miko Ryans was talking yesterday. We want to get into this, including does this feel like it's right from D'Amico, what he says here? We'll tell you what next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.